Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, which is Yevamos Nun Hey. We begin on Nun Dalad Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. In yesterday's Daf, we discussed that although typically when we speak about Arayos, a sister, a Choysei, it refers to a sister with whom he shares a father or a mother. But we do have exception to this rule. When it comes to doi doi, father's brother's wife, that pertains only to his father's brother with whom he shares a common father. So that's an exception. When it comes to doi doi, it's only as a result of a shared father. But otherwise, when we speak about sisters, when we speak about mother-sister, father-sister, etc., it refers to either a sister through a shared father or even through a shared mother. We're going to have other examples coming up today where we apply the same concept. And we're going to look for the sources, the makaris, in each one of these cases. Says the Gemara, what about Achos Ishtei, wife's sister? Does that apply to a sister with whom she shares only a father and a mother? Or if she only shares a mother with that sister, does it count? Does she need to share a father, or even just sharing a mother is sufficient? Let's see. Vadisnan, what about the following mission? Amr loy meis ishtecha. I tell his fellow, look, your wife passed away. So he married her sister. After his wife's passing, he may marry her sister. She wasn't a full sister, only a half sister. Had a common father. Mesa, he was informed about her death. He proceeded to marry the second wife's sister, with whom she shares only a mother. Mesa, they informed him about her death. He proceeded and married her sister, with whom she has a common father. Mesa, he was told about her death. He went on to marry her sister from her mother's side. A total of five nashim. It turns out this news was erroneous, was mistaken news. They were all alive. In which case, the first one was really his wife all along, and the other ones weren't. Some of them were, some of them weren't. Let's see. The ones that are Arayos, right? The first one's a sister, Achos Ishtei, is an Erva. Kedushin does not apply, can't be Teifes. Therefore, we end up with the following equation. Mutar b'rishayna u'b'shlishis u'b'chamishis. Out of these five, he may stay with number one, that's his original wife, number three, which is unrelated to number one, and number five, who is unrelated to one or three. Right? Because number two was only a sister with number one through her father. And number three with number two only by way of a joint mother, resulting in no connection between number one and number three, totally strangers. Number three and number four are partially related. So if number three is really now his wife, number four can't be married to him, but number five could because she's unrelated to number three. So he ends up with number one, three, and five. Upoitres Sirasain. If it turns out that he passes away and Yibum is done to one of these, either one of these three women, one, three, and five, they exempt their tsaris, meaning it's a proper Yibum. It exempts the entire household. But he may not engage with number two and number four, who are technically Achos Ishtei. V'asar b'shnia, number two is asar because she's a sister of number one. U'revius, number four is asar, being a sister of number three. V'ein bias achas men p'ter tzarasa, if he passes away and they do yibum to one of these, it doesn't exempt the other ones because they're not really his wives. However, if it turns out that really number one was alive all along, v'ein bo alar ashnia, la'achar misas harishayna, so number one was alive all along. But then, she passed away. Number one passed away. And then he went ahead and married and was lived as married with number two, which basically makes number two his wife. And this happened after number one passed away, which allowed him to marry number two. In that case, the equation shifts. So number two is his valid wife, but number three is not because she's a sister of number two, but number four is because she's unrelated to number two. And number five is not being a sister of number four. So muta b'shnia b'raviyis, he can hold on to number two and number four. Poitras are saying if he passes away, and yibum is done to one of them, exempts its sarais, they're a proper yibum. V'asar b'shlishis b'chamishis, but number three and number five are us. Bottom line is, Alma we see from here. After all said and done, it's clear that achis ishtoi b'mina av b'mina em. When we speak about the erev of achis ishtoi, it pertains to either sister of one's wife with whom she shares a father or a mother. It's clear from this Mishnah that achis mina av or mina em is considered a sister. B'mina av b'mina em asur es minala. How do we know this to be true? Answer: Yolef me'achisai. We learn from achisai, which we had yesterday, and that's a clear pasuk. How does the Torah define sister? Ma achosei bei min ha'av bei min ha'im. Whether it's a sister with whom you share a father, or even just share a mother, she is an erva afkan here as well. By achos ishtoi bei min ha'av bei min ha'im, it pertains to both types of achos ishtois. Ve'leif midei dasai. Why are you going to sister? Learn from Deidasai, where it's limited. Ma Deidasai min ha'av v'le min ha'im. Deidasai is the father's brother's wife. That's limited to father's brother with whom he shares a common father, as opposed to if he only shares a common mother. Av kan, here as well, by Echois Ishtai, wife, sister, min ha'av v'le min ha'im. Perhaps only from father, not mother. Mistavar, it's more probable to go in the other direction, to learn from Achoise, because they're more similar. Shekein Krovei Atzmoi, we're trying to learn Achoise Ishta, which is your own personal relative, your wife's sister. It's very close, very personal. Mikrovei Atzmoi, from sister, which is also your personal relative, as opposed to Doidasai, which is your father's relative. It's a generation higher. It's a different realm. Adarab, just the opposite. Midoidasai, Havalei Lemelaf. You should go to Deidasai better. It's more similar, Shekein Davar Aidei Kiddushin, because Achos Ishtai is a erva generated through Kiddushin with his wife. Midavar Shaidei Kiddushin. Learn that from Deidasai, which is also a Kiddushin generated, a marriage generated relationship. Elamei Shasach Yalfinin. Oh, so the kasha is, so why don't you go to Deidasai, which is more similar in nature, as opposed to Achos, which is a blood relative. It's dissimilar to Achos Ishtai. So that's a good kash. Answers the Gemara, Ella rather, Me'eshes Ach Yalfinan. We're going to go elsewhere to figure out the definition of Achos Ishtai. Eshes Ach, brother's wife. Ella Me'eshes Ach Yalfinan. It's very similar. It has all the elements of Achos Isha. Why? The Shekein Dover Aide Kedushin. Ukroivei Atzmai. Because there as well, Eshes Ach is personal. It's the same generation, so to speak. It's not the father's relative, so it's krovei atzmai, and of course it's a marriage generated relationship, and that's comparable to achos isha. So just as over there the iser pertains to both from father or mother, here as well. Well, how do you know? It's true over there. Ve'eshesach gufa minolam. How do you know ve'eshesach? Both types are true. The sanya, as we have in the Brice. Ervas eshesach ichaloi sigala. Don't engage with the wife of your brother. Be'eminav, whether he's a brother with whom you have a common father. Be'eminav, or a brother with a common mother. Ato oimer be'eminav, be'eminav, you're suggesting both ways. Oyeinoi, maybe not. Elo minav, v'leiminav, only a brother with whom you have a shared father, not only a common mother. Answers the Gemara, vidunu. We can derive it by way of the following formula. Chiyav kan, we have a chiyav over here by Ishasach. V'chiyav b'achoyse, likewise we have by sister. ma'achoyse, just as by achoyse. How do we define it? Be'mina'av, be'mina'im, whether she's from father or mother, she's still achoyse. Afkan here as well by eshasach. Be'mina'av, be'mina'im, it's irrelevant of whether it's father or mother. So that's how we know eshasach pertains to both. Or maybe going in the other direction. Compare it to the idasai, which is strictly two through father. Chiev kan. We have a chiev over here by eshasach. V'chiev by the idasai we have by the aunt. Ma the idasai just is over there. Mina avle mina name. It's only through father, not mother. Afkan here as well by eshasach. Mina avle mina name only through father. So eshasach is sort of tossed in the middle. Can go in either direction. Learn from achoisai. Both types, or learn from a deidasai, only one type. Nearly bidaima, let's analyze. Which one is more comparable? Dun and kreve atzma, mi kreve atzma. Sure, achoise is more comparable because just as achoise is your own personal relative in your generation. Likewise, eshesach is your generation, it's your brother's wife. So there, that similarity. And therefore comparable. V'altoichich deidasa as opposed to deidasa, which is one generation higher. Shekroi v'yav, father's relative. And therefore we prefer this way. Oiklachel derechzu, or perhaps go in the other direction. Let's compare it to deidasa, which has an element, which is more similar to eshesach. Don and davar shalei de kedushin. We're deriving eshesach, which is a kedushin-oriented type of relation, midavar shalei de kedushin from deidasa, which as well as a marriage generated kurva, as opposed to sister, she is a naturally occurring relative. And perhaps a bit dissimilar to Eshesach. Talmud Leima, that's why we have a pasuk which teaches us that Eshesach pertains to both types. Ervas Achichahi, an extra pasuk, to tell you. Guess what? Eshesachicha is Beimina Av, Beimina Aim, whether it's from father or mother. Asks the Gemara, Ve'ema, no, maybe we'll say, Eidib Eshesach Mina'av. Both Psukim are speaking about the same type of Eshesach from father's side. Why two Psukim? Two types. Chada Diyesh Labana B'chayi Bala. One is telling you that during your husband's lifetime, she's off limits. Let's say he was Megarisher. You still can't get involved with Eshesach if she has children. Ve'chada Diyesh Labana B'chayi Bala. And one is, in her life, during her husband's lifetime, if she has no children. You shouldn't think there's a difference between one and the other. That were compared to, after death. No, during his lifetime, she's usher, irrespective of whether she has or does not have children. That's why you need to psuk him. Asks the Gemara, you don't need a pasuk for that. To tell you an isser, during her husband's lifetime, we have a whole Gemara yesterday. The pasuk mentions the word nida here, to tell you, just as a nida. Despite the fact she'll be mutter later, she's usher now. Likewise, eshesach, although she has no children, and she's slated for heter later on after her husband's passing, but during her husband's lifetime, she's usher. We already know that halacha. We don't need a pasuk. No, says the Gemara, ve'ema idi ve'idi be'eshesach min'av. Perhaps both psukim here, again, are speaking about the same type of eshesach from father's side. Why two psukim? Chada diyesh labana b'chayi bala. We're speaking that she has children. One is telling you, during husband's lifetime, she's usher. V'chada diyesh labanim l'acham, he says, bal. And one is telling you, after husband's passing, she's also usher. She has children. That's why you need to psukim. Asks the Gemara. Yesh labanim l'acham, he says, bal. Let's see her. Why do we need a pasuk to forbid interaction with an eshes ach after husband's passing, if she has children? Isn't that obvious? May the amar achmana. Once the pasuk tells you, she'ein la banim muteres, after her husband's passing without children, then she's a yevama, then she's muter. Evidently, ha yesh la banim asura. She has children, she's asur. That's pashut. We know that from the halacha of yibum. No, v'dilma ein la banim asura la alma. Maybe if she has no children, that's a unique case. What happens? She's asur to everybody else. V'shar yol yavam. She's muter to the yavam. That's the case of yibum. But yesh labanim, let's say she has children, it's even better. Sharia la alma, v'sharia li yavam. In that case, she's not obligated for yibum. She's not slated for yibum. There's no point. There are children. In this case, there are no restrictions. She's free to go marry anybody. La'alma eliyavam. So that's what I would think without this pasuk. Inami, alternatively, you can say, ein lo bana mitzvah. There are no children. There's a mitzvah to do yibum, to perpetuate the husband's legacy. Yesh lo bana mishus. She has children. You can go marry her. There's no mitzvah, but you could. Inami, or you can say, ein lo banam, in. The mitzvah yibum indicates to us that if there are no children, yibum is allowed, and yibum is required. Yesh lo banam, lie. She has children. Don't do yibum. So, of course, it's aser. But it's not a severe iser. It's not kara. It's not even a lav. Because it's just an implied halach. When there are no children, do it. Obviously. Otherwise, don't do it. V'lav. Haba mechlal asay. A lav which is simply derived from an asay, such as in this case. Do it here, which implies don't do it elsewhere, only has the weight, it carries the weight, has the value of an asay. It's not even a lav. It's not a curse. So just from looking at yibum, you wouldn't know much. And perhaps that's why we need an extra pasuk to tell you that in all these cases, she's still aser. Right? If she has children, she's a kares. Right? So once we use the pasuk to tell you these basic halachas, you no longer have a pasuk available to tell you, to define to you what is considered eshes ach, and whether or not it includes an eshes ach mina aim. Says the Gemara, we have another pasuk. Kasav krachruna, we have another pasuk, ervas achiv gila, which tells you in all cases, she's actually aser, she's kares, she's an erva. So if she has children, even after her husband's death, she's kares. So once we know that, from this pasuk, we have the other pasuk available, the other pasuk of Ervas, Ochicha Hi, which is also an extra pasuk, to tell you, Bein Min Ha'av, Bein Min Ha'im. Asks the Gemara, Ve'emo, once that pasuk is telling you that Erech Eishes Ochicha pertains to both types, Bein Min Ha'av, Bein Min Ha'im, if so, perhaps we'll apply yibum in that case as well. Ve'ema, eishes ach mina'im, ke eishes ach mina'av. Both types of eishes achs are similar to each other. Ma eishes ach mina'av, la'achar misas balo sharya. Just as eishes ach from your father's side is mutter after her husband's death, that's yibum, af eishes ach mina'im. Same applies to Eishes Ach, with whom he only shares a mother. La'achar Mrs. Bala Sharya, after husband's passing, she's mutter. Let's do Yibum. Asks Rashi, what do you mean? Don't we have a pasuk back in Daf Yud Zayin? We learn from Achva, Achva, B'nei Yaakov. Yibum is intended for brothers who share a father. Answers Rashi, yeah, perhaps it's a mitzvah in that case, but otherwise it's not a mitzvah, but it's reshus, it's voluntary, it's optional. So how do you know not? Omar Kroh Hi Vavyasatehe. Ervas Achicha Hi, the extra he tells you, she remains Aser. And remember, that's the pasuk that taught us Eishes Ach Mena'im. She remains Aser for all time, even after husband's passing, even without children. There's no Yibum at all. So bottom line is, by all arayis, except for one, Deidasai, it applies irrespective of whether it's just a shared father or a shared mother. It pertains to sister, achis ishta, yeshes ach, we had yesterday, achis avich, achis imecha. There's one exception to the rule, that's deidasai, father's brother's wife, which only pertains to father's brother through a common father. Now, once we're on the topic of the psukim and the arayis, we're going to dwell on some more words or phrases which seem to be extra, and what they're coming to teach us. Asks the Gemara, Achoisei dekosav ba'koris lamali. Why is it that the Torah has to spell out the einish of koris by sister? We already have the halacha, the pasuk that a curse applies to all the arayos. Why does the pasuk single out sister? Says the Gemara, look at Rabbi Yechanan, Dom Rabbi Yechanan, Shem Asan Kulam Ve'elam Achas. It's coming to tell you that if one commits all the arayos in one forgetfulness, in one swoop, Chayev Al Kol Achas Ve'achas, he's chayev, he's liable separately for each erva. That's why the pasuk has to single out achoisa and spell out koras to tell you, look, every isha, every erva is separate. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak actually learns this singling out of koras by sister for a different concept. To tell you as follows. All chayav krisis, all arayas, all bichlal hayu, they're all sort of included together, bundled together in one pasuk. V'lama yotas akoris b'achoisei, why does the pasuk single out achoisei and spell out koris once again? To tell you, l'dunayit b'koris v'lei b'malkos, to teach you a profound lesson. Even if the Eidim would warn him, tell him, look, you're getting malkos for doing this erva, which is an understatement, he's getting koris. You don't get malkos. You don't. It's koris and nothing else. And that's why Torah singles out achoisei and spells out Kurus to tell you Kurus is the only punishment and not Malkus. In any case, according to him, this pasuk is unavailable to tell you Lechalik, right? So Lechalik Menol, how do we know? The concept of Lechalik, that each erva is treated separately and there's a separate liability on each one. Nafkali, he learns it from a different pasuk. Maybe Elisha, Benidas, Tumasa. Don't approach an Isha in a state of Nidas. Why El Isha? It's an extra word. L'chayev al kol Isha ve'isha. To tell you each Isha is separate. Each one generates a separate punishment. Asks the Gemara. Doidosa dekosav rachmono aririm yiu lamali. We know that kares involves cutting off a person's life, cutting it short, cutting away his kids, chas v'shal. Why does the pasuk have to spell out the words aririm yiu by doidosa? Which is just another way of describing kares. What's the point? It's known that all arayos lead to this consequence. Answers the Gemara to tell you as follows. Look at the Rab. The Rabba Rami. Rabba really had a contradiction, a stira. Ksiv aririm yiu. One pasuk says they're going to be aririm. They're going to pass away without children. At the time of death, no children. Uksiv aririm yamusu. Other pasuk says that they'll remain aririm until death. So one pasuk is speaking about the future, one is speaking about their current situation. How do we reconcile? What are the two psukim trying to do? Hakeitzad, the pasuk is trying to sort of cover all possibilities, and they're overlapping psukim. Yeshli bonim kaivran. Aririm yiu means, even if he has children now, yiu in the future, he will not have. He's going to bury them before death. Engli bonim heilach ariri. Aririm yimusu means, if currently he has no children, he'll remain as such. He's going to stay without children until death. And both are needed. V'yitzrich l'michtav aridim yiyu, v'yitzrich l'michtav aridim yimusu. Both psukim are needed, and both are complementing each other and describing the full extent of koris. Yikas of rachmana aridim yiyu. If only from the pasuk yiyu, I would say, hava min ad chatoi. All children that he had up until the point of his chet, he will lose before his death. Aval mechatoi ve'elach loy, but children that he has after he committed the sin, loy, perhaps they're unaffected. Kasa rachmana aririm yamusu, says the pasuk, that they will die. Aririm, which indicates that whatever happens, even if he has children after his chet, he will pass away without children, even they're affected. V'kasa rachmana aridim yamusu. Oh, if only from that pasuk, hava mina, I would say perhaps, mechatoi ve'elach. Dafka, specifically those children that came about after his chet, they're tainted, they're affected by his chet, and they'll be affected. Aval mi'ikor aloi, but children born before the chet, they're unaffected. Tzricha, that's why we need aridim yiyu, to indicate, no, it covers even those children as well. Koris entails total cutting off, shortening his life and his children. Okay, let's get back to the sugi we started yesterday, ha'aro, which means a limited physical contact between the Eiver and the Isha, not a full insertion, just a limited Ma'asebiya. And we learned yesterday that the chiyuv of arayus pertains even to this limited physical interaction. We have the pasuk by krisus. What about by chayove lavin? A situation which only involves a lav. Perhaps just a limited physical contact would not affect that. How do we know it does? How do we know it's usher as well? Answers the Gemara, Medigo, Lirachmona, Shikha Zara. Gabi Shikha Harufa. We have a unique halacha in the Torah called Shikha Harufa, which basically means a Shikha Knanis, a non-Jewish maidservant who's engaged to an Eved Ivri. If one interacts with this Shikha, it results in a Chiev of an Asham, etc. In that parsha, we have the term shichva zera, which indicates a full physical interaction with the isha. And only in that case does it generate those consequences. That indicates to us, mechlal dechayovi lavin beharo. Apparently, all other isurei lav, even a limited physical contact, haaro ba'alma, would generate a lav. So that's the raya. Adrabah, just the opposite. Medigol rachmana haaro bechayvi krisis. Once the Torah indicates ha'ara in relation to chayav krisis, as we had yesterday, isn't that a raya mechlal? Doesn't that imply the chayav lavin bigmar bia? But otherwise, if it's just a lav, you need a full physical connection. Just ha'ara ba'amu wouldn't work. Amar Rav Ashi, no. In Cain, if that would be so, lishtei krami shivcha charufa. Why would the pasuk mention shichva zera b'shivcha charufa? If all chayav lavin have that concept, why do we have to single out shivcha charufa? That's a clear indication that other than Shivcha Charufa, even Ha'ara suffices. Asks the Gemara, so we know ordinary Chayav Elavin, right? What about those unique Chayav Elavin that are limited to Kohanim? Ha'ara the Chayav Elavin de Kohuna Midalon, Agrusha, Chalutza, which aren't really universal halachis, pertain only to Kohanim. How do we know that this Ha'ara principle applies there? Asya kicha kicha through gzera shava, because by chayav krisis it says isha sheyikach, by chayav lavin it says leikach, and we connect it to the chayav esay minolan. What about situations where there is an isra asay? Rashi says a mitzri, an adoimi, up until three doyrays, there's an asay against marrying them. How do we know Ha'ara applies there? Asya bia bia through another gzera shava. Over here it says layave mamzer, right? That's chayav lavin. And by the chayav esay, it also uses the lashon derishlishi yavoi. So we have lashon yavoi bia to tell you that ha'ara applies in both cases. Yivama l'shuk menolan is an issa for yivama to marry out. How do we know ha'ara is a concern there as well? Answers the Gemara, well, depends. Ilaman de amar lav is machlekes. The Gemara later in Tzadik Bey, between Rav and Shmuel, whether it's a lav for her to marry out, or just an assay. So if it's a lav, ilma damar lav, fine, lav. So it complies with the guidelines of the lav, which is what we discussed a minute ago. Ilma damar assay, if it's just an assay, fine, assay, then it conforms to the halachas of the chayave assay. And as we just learned, ha'ra is applicable there as well. Ela yivam ala yavam inalan. What about when you do Yibam? How do we know Ha'ara accomplishes the Kinyan, which is something we learned in the beginning of this parak, that even Ha'ara accomplishes Kinyan? Asya Bia Bia, once again, through Zer Shava, because by Yivama we have Yivama Yavoy Aleh, and by the Chayavi Asay we had Lashon of the Yavoy, right? And therefore we compare. Isha Labala Manilan, one of the forms of Kiddushin is Bia. How do we know that Ha'ara is affected there as well? By a regular isha marrying a regular husband, asu kicha kicha, by way of a dandu gzeres shava, by the kiddushin it says kikach isha ish isha, so we have kicha, and by the kara situations we also have kicha, we have isha sheikach as a chaysoi. We compare the two things. So bottom line is ha'ara is applicable everywhere except for one shivcha charuf. Amarava, lamali the kasav rachmana. Why is it that we find three times where the Torah mentions this term shichva zera? What's the point? Lamali the kasav rachmana shichva zera. Firstly, b'shivcha charufa, as we just mentioned. Again, shichva zera be'ishes ish. And the pasuk warns against interacting with a married woman. we use the lashon shechva zera. What's the point? And shechva zera b'soita. The Torah, when describing the fellow who warns his wife against interacting inappropriately with this fellow, the pasuk there and again uses the lashon v'shachav ish oisa shechva zera. What's the point of mentioning shechva zera in any case? You don't need a full-fledged physical interaction. Even ha'ara, as we explained, would be problematic by the Eshes Ish, by the Soita. Answers the Gemara, well, first of all, this is an easy one. Excuse me. The Shifcha Charufa, the mentioning of Shichva Zera by Shifcha Charufa, that's obvious. Kedamar, as we just explained, because over there you need a full physical connection. The Eshes Ish, why mention it over there? It's coming to tell you, Prat L'Mishamish Meis. It's come to exclude one who interacts physically with an Eshes Ish in a state of the aver being deactivated, unstiffened. So in that case, there's no arayis consequence. And that's why the pasuk mentions shechva zera. Rashi says it's without kisha, it's not roi lahazriya. Well, hanich lamanda omar mishamesh meis barayis pata. That works according to the shita. Then in this case, it's pata. El lamanda omar, chayiv. But according to the shita, it says even mishamesh meis is chayiv. Michael Amema, what's the point of this phrase Shechva Zera? Ella Pratla Meshamish Meisa, as opposed to one who interacts with a woman who has already passed away, the Sakadai Dachamina, perhaps I would think, Hoyolo Achamisa, Nam Ikr She'eroi, we find elsewhere that the Isha is called She'eroi even after death. Rashi brings, Ki'im Le She'eroi, Akarav Eloi, She'eroi is Ishtai. So we find the term She'eroi regarding a wife, even after her passing, is still a connection. And therefore, when it comes to arayis, perhaps I would say, if one interacts with her in that state, there is an ishes ish value to it, and there is arayis, kamash melon, the lashon shechva zera is coming to exclude that. And finally, the soita lamli. Why mention that term when it comes to a soita? Answers the Gemara l'chadesanya for the following halach. The pasuk has the words shechva zera. That's coming to tell you prat l'davar achar as opposed to something else. What is something else? My davar achar, Omar Rav Sheshet, is prat as opposed to the following case. L'kshekinei lo, kinei means when the husband warns her against interacting with this fellow. And he has a unique request. L'kshekinei lo, shaloi kedarka. He tells her, look, don't interact with this fellow, shaloi kedarka. This is a term we had at the beginning of the parak. That's two forms of bia, right? Kedarka is ordinary, like kedarka is out of the ordinary, which means the front, the back, right? The vaginal, the anal. So shloi kedarka is telling her, don't interact shloi kedarka. That's what he's concerned about. In that case, the consequences, it doesn't carry the same consequence, it doesn't carry the same value as a regular kinui. In this case, she has no din to drink that water, even if she goes into hiding with this fellow. It's not a proper kinoi. And that's what the pasuk is excluding. Shechva zera has to be a proper interaction. He has to be warning against conventional interaction, which has the ability to impregnate shechva zera, but as opposed to shloi kedarka, it doesn't have that value. Amalei Rava, why would you say that? Why would you mitigate this type of kinoi? It has the same value. Mishkevei Isha Ksiv, we find that the pasuk equates both types of interacting with the Isha. Mishkevei Isha is Lashon Rava. They're both treated the same. Ela Marava. Prat l'shekine lo derech ivar. Sheikh Bazar is coming to exclude a case where he warns her against, you know, behaving inappropriately with this fellow. Not warning against an actual physical connection, a masabia, but derech ivar. Other forms of physical interaction. Amalei Abaye, Pritzusa Asa Rachmana. What would be the Havamina? Why would you say that this would be considered a proper kinoi? In which case, if she proceeds and does it, she becomes Asa on her husband. As appropriate, as inappropriate as it is, as unrecommended as Asa as it is, but Pritzusa, this type of Pritzus is Asa Rachmana, would generate an Isser to her husband? Of course not. a conventional interaction with a strange man, a proper, a real znus, makes her asa, but not this type of interaction. So there's no reason to think that this would create iser, and you don't even need a pasuk. Ella Amar Abaye, says Abaye, prat l'shekinei lod b'nei shik. The word shechvazera is coming to rule out a kinoi b'nei shik. It's warning against a very, very minimal interaction, similar to the ha'ara that we mentioned earlier, where the aver of the ish is making some form of contact. And that's not considered something that can give the kinoi, the warning, value and weight. So only if he's warning against a proper, a full-fledged interaction, but just not just a limited neshika interaction. Says the Gemara, yeah, hanichal mandamah ha'ara su'achnas ha'satara. This works very well if you define the term ha'ara, as we had all along, which is certainly problematic, certainly aser. If we define it as achnasas ha'tara, which means a limited insertion of the aver, only the tip, the atara, the flesh area. So that's called ha'ara, and that's considered a masabia. So then we can understand why merely neshika, which is just a slight contact, would not be considered part of the masasness. It would not give the kinoi any value. That would explain it. But according to the other interpretation of ha'ara, which is merely neshika, just a slight contact, that's already called ha'ara. Michael Amema, then how could you tell me here that if he's warning you against doing that with that strange fellow, that's not considered kinoi, it's not considered something which could create iser. Of course it can. It's ha'ara. Ella rather lo'ilam l'shekinei lo derech ivorim. Let's go back to the other pshat, Rav's pshat. The Torah is telling you, look, inasmuch as acting inappropriately, derech pritzus, is not recommended, but kinoi has to be a proper kinoi. Kinoi pertaining to this behavior doesn't have the kinoi value. It doesn't create iser to her husband. V'istrich, now Pasuk needs to tell us that. What's the chiddush? Why would I think otherwise? Sakadai techamina, perhaps I would say, b'kpeda de baal tola rachmana. Yeah, the Torah is concerned about his being makpid. Voka kapit. He's concerned about this. It's all personal. This is his concern. And this is considered a kinei. Even though it's not a full ma'as as nus. And perhaps this can create iser, this can compel her to have to go drink the mayim of the soita, kamashmo, and the chiddush is no. The halachas are uniform, universal. It needs to pertain to a real ma'as as nus as opposed to this limited interaction. Amashmo. Let's go back to the term ha'ara. We're going to have a total of three definitions. Shmuel says ha'ara zu neshika. That's just the initial contact. Moshe la'adam shemaniach etzboi al piv. Similar to a person placing his finger on his lips. Even though he's not inserting it, it's impossible. There won't be some sort of pushing in, some sort of slight insertion. That's why neshika is considered a ma'aseh erva. That's Shmuel's approach. Neshika is ha'ara. He also says, Gemar Bia was considered the completion, so to speak, of the Ma'asa Bia. It's much more than that. Gemar Bia that we have B'Shivcha Charufa, right, as we explained earlier. Over there you need more than just Ha'ara. How do you define that? How do you describe that? So Achnosas Ator, insertion of the Ator, of the Aver. Ator is the raised flesh, skin area at the tip of the Aver. That's called Gemar Bia. At this point, this description of Rabbi Yochanan can be compatible with Shmuel. Right? Shmuel speaking about Ha'ara, the initial phase of Bia, which is just contact Neshika. He's going on Gemar Bia, which is Dechnos HaSatar. So far it fits. Moser Rav Sheshes, he has the Kasha. The Bryce says, Shichva Zera, this is by Shivcha Charufa, you need that much. Ein Echayiv, El Al Bias HaMirik. The Chiv is only when it's a complete Bia. My love, should we not assume miruk gid, the entire aver, needs to be inserted? No, no, you don't need that much. Loi, miruk atara. Even the atara being inserted is enough. Tesis learns that according to this sheet, even that much bia can generate offspring, and it's included in the Issa Shikhvasera. That's a kasha. On Rabba Bar Bachana's version of Rabbi Yechanan, sorry, so we thought we had a kasha, right? We said no. Loi bia miruk atara, even the atara insertion is considered gemar bia. And that works with Rabbi Yechanan. Kiyosar of di miya bar Rabbi Yechanan, here comes another version of Rabbi Yechanan, which is that hara zuachnos atara. No, hara needs more than just contact and ishika. You need achnos atara. That's considered the initial phase of bia. And this certainly doesn't work with the earlier version of Rabbi Yechanan. The Nachnas Satara is called Gemar Bia. He's saying Ha'ara needs at least that much. Amrle, they told Rav Dimi, how could you say that? V'ha Rabba Bar Brachana Lo Yamar Hachi. We had the earlier version of Rabbi Yechanan, which didn't work like this. Rabbi Brachana told us that Nachnas Satara is Gemar Bia. Amrle, Rav Dimi says, look, it's either me or him. Either he is speaking untruthfully, or I am. It's one or the other. You're right. We don't. We're not speaking the same language. It's a different version of Rabbi Yechanan. Likewise, also Rav of Rabbi Yechanan, he too quoted Rabbi Yechanan in the same way. Ha'ara zu achnasa satara. Even to accomplish ha'ara, you need at least achnasa satara. Ad Rav bar Brachana vadei polik. Certainly, this last version of Rabbi Yechanan is in full disagreement with Rabbi Bar Brachana, who says that Hachnasa Satara is already way far gone. It's already Gemar Bia. Ha'ara is just an Ashika is the Ha'ara. So certainly we have two Shitas here. Right? One version of Rabbi Yechanan is that Ha'ara is the Nishika, and Gemar Bia is Hachnasa Satara. And the second version is, Ha'ara is Achnasas HaTorah, and Gemar Bia is more than that. So certainly two versions. The question remains as follows. What does Shmuel really hold? Let's go back to Shmuel. He said that Ha'ara is Neshika. Two ways to learn that. You can say Ha'ara is Neshika, and anything more than that, Achnasas HaTorah is already Gemar Bia. Or you can say no. Shmuel never meant that. Perhaps he held that Neshika, up until and including Hachnasas HaTorah, is also called Ha'ara. Right? Could be that's what he meant. Says the Gemara, Adesh Shmuel, Milema Palik. This last version of Rabbi Yechanan. That what? That Hachnasas HaTorah is called Ha'ara. Can that work with Shmuel? Or is it incompatible with Shmuel? Says Amor, yeah, it's compatible. It can work. There's no machlek, it's loy, no machlek. Meneshika v'adachnos satora ha'ara karila. Shmuel went. Meant from the initial contact, neshika, up until and including atora, is called ha'ara. And that fits with the second version of Rabbi Yechanan. From zero until achnos satora is called ha'ara. So far we have two versions of two definitions, two possible interpretations of Ha'ara. Either from zero until and including Achnasas HaTorah, or Neshika is Ha'ara, and anything past that, Achnasas HaTorah is already called Gemar Bia. That was the first version of Rabbi Yechanan. Ki Asar of Shmo Bar Yehuda, Om Rabbi Yechanan, here comes yet a fourth quote of Rabbi Yechanan, which says, Ha'ara zu achnasas HaTorah. What is Ha'ara, achnasas HaTorah? Gemar Bia is Gemar Bia Mamash, past that. A full connection. Mekan Ve'elach, but anything before achnasas HaTorah, anything below achnasas HaTorah, Einoi Ela Neshika, that's only called Neshika. Just a slight contact. U'patar Aleha, there's no Chiv on that. Upalaga the Shmuel. Now this version certainly disagrees with Shmuel, because according to this version, anything until Achmas Zatara is zero has no value. Has no Chiv. The first point of Chiv is Achmas Zatara. So bottom line is, he's Chalik and Shmuel, who clearly tells us that Neshika is reckoned as Ha'ara. So bottom line is, sounds a bit confusing, bottom line is we have three Shitas. As per the interpretation of the word Ha'ara. It can be one, two, or three. It can mean either. Neshika only. Because Achmas Sator is already called Gemar Bia. That was the first version of Rabbi Yechanan. We have the last version, Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yechanan says just the opposite. Hachnas HaTara constitutes Ha'ara. Anything below that, meaning Neshika, is zero. Then we have the middle Shita, which is the other version of Rabbi Yechanan, and perhaps Shmuel. From zero, from Neshika up until and including Hachnas HaTara, all that's considered Ha'ara. Okay, so what did we learn today? We started with how to define brotherhood, sisterhood when it comes to arayis. So aside from one exception, which is doidasai, father's brother's wife, where we find that's only mina'av, father's brother through a common father. Other than that, everywhere else it's bein mina'av bein mina'im. Let's go down the list. Whether it's achoisei, whether it's achois oev, achois imoy, whether it's achois ishtei, whether it's Eishas Ach. In all cases, it's Bei Mina'av Bei Mina'im. We define the term Aririm. We learned why the Torah spells out Kores Ba'achoisoi. We learned how to apply Ha'ara to all Isurim, except for one, Sheikh V'Chalufa. Over there, it needs to be more than just Ha'ara. We discussed the three mentionings of Sheikh Chazer in the Torah, what each one is coming to teach you. And we concluded with the definition of the term Ha'ara. All the best to you and much hatzlacha.